Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, and joined by Cody Thompson, as always. How are you doing today, Cody?
Excited.
That's definitely
not
great.
I forgot my list. That was the only one I could come up with.
And we got Tracy, our producer, on mic.
Hello, gentlemen.
Good to have you here, Tracy. And Matt, how you doing, Matt, our engineer, not on mic? You know, I wonder how many people fast forward through the opening. I just wonder about that. I thought about that today as I'm reading this. I wonder if I said wah, 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 like the parents on Charlie Brown, if they might just be like, oh,
we get
matter.
Into it pretty quick. There are some others that I hit the
30 let's second go for, button like 30 three times, button, right? Yeah. Cody, what are we going to talk about today?
Today, we're talking about the best four-letter word.
Yes. Gosh, when should I say what this four-letter word is? It really is a four-letter word because it has four letters, and it's a word that people don't like to use because they feel like it's inappropriate or uncomfortable. Now, instead of having you guess or playing hangman with you, I'm just going to get right to it. And the word is actually, and I even before I say this, I'm kind of hesitant. The word is love. Mm-hmm. The word is love. And it actually has a huge place in business and teamwork. And the organizations that are comfortable with it, not just using the word, but in understanding why it's so important, they outperform organizations that don't. All other things being equal, it can make the difference. And you know, the reason why we're doing this today, I watched a sporting event this weekend that transcended sports for me and for the other people that were around, and it was a golf tournament. Mm-hmm. Okay, it was the RBC golf tournament in Hilton Head, South Carolina. I remember that. They had alligators there. Anyway, the guy that won the tournament, and I actually watched it Saturday as well, which is nuts, you know, is his name is Stuart Sink, and he's 47 years old, which is actually really old on the tour. You know, most of these guys are 23 and 25, and they're swinging out of their shorts. So a 47-year-old won this tournament. He also won a tournament in November. It's like the first time in over a decade that somebody at that age has won twice in 1 year. And what's interesting is, it was a total resurgent. He hadn't won a tournament in like 12 years.
Yeah.
So his career is definitely resurging. And the thing about it was, I cannot deny that the biggest thing I noticed, which I think has something to do with this, is that his caddy is his son. His 24-year-old son was his caddy. Now, if you're not a golf fan or a golfer, you might think, well, he just carried his bag for him. But this kid was literally like telling his dad what shots to make and encouraging him and telling him what to focus on and what not to and blocking things out of. It was so fun. And they had a microphone near them. And I loved listening to him and his son talk more than I did even watching the shots. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, this is his advantage. Mm-hmm. Then I realized earlier in the golf season, another guy named Lee Westwood, who's 48 years old, he's a British golfer. He'd only won once in the United States. And 2 weeks in a row at the US Open and another tournament, he almost won at 48 years old. And his caddy was his fiance, his girlfriend. And she was a serious caddy also. And it was just so fun to watch them. And it made me realize when you're playing for somebody that you care about and you know that they're there watching you and they have expectations and hopes for you, you perform better.
Right.
And teams that love each other and have that kind of family-oriented feeling, they perform better because they're motivated by something far more than just their own success.
It was great that you talking about that, and we were just talking about it at the lunch table today, is like absolutely true that when we have someone that's standing next to us, whether it's a family member or team members that we care about, we act differently. We perform differently. And the word love, we've done a number of podcasts around like what compels us to tell someone that's not good enough, or what compels us to be kind and not nice to people and enter the danger and all these things. And really at the heart of all of those conversations that we've done is actually this idea that we love one another,
right?
That we care about each other. And even as we say that, I mean, it sounds
cheesy.
Like, oh, should we not do that? Are people going to write us off or dismiss us? Or does that make us sound too weird? But I love this golf example because that is a sport where you would think like they try to eliminate emotion and they try to like, it's all strictly business. And then you hear the son like talking to his dad about like, hey, block that shot out of your mind, or you've got to love this shot. And he has this total resurgence, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the conclusion you drew is we are motivated and perform better when we're around people we care about.
You know, I love it because golf is an individual sport, but it's like they turned it into a team sport.
Right.
Incorporating their family. I love it. I love it.
I think the dad wanted to play better so his son would be part of the winning team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Think about that. Normally, you have a caddy. They're like a hired gun. Now, and you know who's like the best golfer in the world is Dustin Johnson. His brother is his caddy.
Yep.
And you watch them. And now they're all business on there, but they have fun too, but they're like brother to brother and giving each other advice. And you know, they're pouring into each other. Sometimes I watch the other caddies and they're like, well, whatever you want to do, boss.
Yeah.
And in this case, they're like, no, we're going to actually have healthy conflict. We're going to push each other. And I have to believe that makes a huge difference. This year in the NCAA tournament, we had a team called Syracuse that went far beyond what people thought they would. And the coach actually had his son on the team.
Yep.
And he hadn't been on the team before he transferred in this year, but you could tell there was something else going on the team.
I mean, I was at your house on Sunday, Pat.
Yep.
And we were talking about this very concept that we're trying to strategically plan like the future of the business and stuff. And you're like, man, there's just this thing that we actually care about each other. You know, like not you and I, but like our company.
Because we don't care about each other. Don't get us wrong. No love between
us. Not just you and I is what I should say. But that when we're making decisions around here and when we're trying to perform, like, you know, Friday, we had a great example where Tracy and I have been working really hard on launching this training program around Working Genius. That could be a commercial. Working Genius, certification. go to workinggenius.com, click the notify me tab at the top. But we've been working really hard. And on Friday, it was like literally a week of just being in a room with Tracy, just pushing and pushing. And then on Friday, right after this event, I was like, oh, I'm going to leave because I felt like, oh, I kind of earned a little bit of a break here. And I left before Tracy left, and she wanted to leave early too. And I felt bad all weekend because my brother came in and I just sort of bounced a little early. And I felt bad because I care about Tracy.
Right.
You know? In a sterile work environment, I think like where you don't have that love for each other.
You might have thought I might get in trouble or right. mm-hmm. somebody might say something, but no, it was actually her well-being.
Her as a person,
right?
You know, not like, oh, I'd earned this and I can write we don't have like vacation hours or whatever. I can like sign out and then I'm good.
You know?
But it was like, man, I care about you and I kind of left you hanging. And
that's so sweet of you.
Doing this live. I have not told you this.
They're hugging, ladies and gentlemen. They're hugging right now.
It didn't bother me. It was just, I cut out shortly after you. Okay, so it wasn't that long.
I still feel a little bad.
You know, but when you have that kind of relationship, you go above and beyond for one another. And I think that's always the case in any kind of an endeavor. If you care more, you're willing to go further and you know you're being rooted for. I mean, the truth of the matter is when I write books, I don't get to see or hear from a reader for months. Mm-hmm. But so it's really tough to be motivated. But because Tracy is my editor and we are like family members, we've worked together for 27 years and we care about each other. And I am doing it for her. Mm-hmm. I think the best writing I've done, I've been trying to impress Tracy.
Right.
Like, oh, and when I'm writing, I'm sitting there late at night in a hotel room by myself, cranking out this thing. And I'm like, oh, I really want her to like this. And I send it to her late at night. I go to bed and I look forward to waking up and seeing what her response was the next morning.
And it makes work that much more enjoyable. I love that you say that to me because that makes me on edge. That makes me want to read your book and do better for you. So it's just, it's a beautiful recipe.
Right.
I've actually not even talked about it this way for our team, but I remember or frequently when one person is out of the office, one of the conversations we inevitably have is what could we do while they're gone that is in their area of the business that they would come back and be like, oh my gosh, they'd feel so cared for and loved. Like, so when Tracy's out, we're like, what could we do that when she got back, she'd be so happy? Or Amy's out.
It would make them proud of us.
But that is the essence of that is that we care about them and like we want to do something that would make their life easier, their life better, or that to show that care and concern.
I was talking to the CEO of Southwest Airlines last week because we did something with them. And, you know, their stock symbol is love, LUV. And we talk about them a lot because they are an icon in business because they've actually, I don't want to use the word institutionalized, but they have made love part of their culture. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to be backstage at Southwest Airlines. And it's actually better behind the scenes than it is in what you see in the ads or you hear about. And like, we've been there. They talk about like somebody's coming back today from they've been out because of cancer. They were sick. And today they're coming back. They're going to be here at 8:30. And people will just get up and run to the front door. And there'll be 100 people there, and they're like cheering for each other. It's not like one of those terrible birthday parties we've always been to, where like show up in the break room for the cake. Happy birthday to you. Know, I hate that. It's genuine.
Right.
And people are excited.
It's just baked in.
It's crazy. And of course, it comes from the top.
Sure.
And it goes level by level by level. And Gary and I were talking about their employee satisfaction. And when you get on a plane, you should try this. Go up to somebody at Southwest Airlines, whether they're a pilot or a gate agent or a flight attendant, and just say, hey, how do you like working at Southwest? And they will look at you and go, oh, we love it here. Mm-hmm. We love the people we work with. And that is real.
Yeah. And I think this is a conversation or a topic around love, but really what it is, like, this is a teamwork mm-hmm. conversation,
yeah.
which is the best teams in the world, literally the best, most effective, highest performing teams in the world, love and care about each other.
Yeah.
Because you can't actually get to that level of performance or like drive to push each other without having some degree of love or care and concern.
That's there. So true. Cause we're not just sitting around here loving one another. We're actually doing things.
Yeah.
And we're performing mm-hmm. and it feels so much better.
You know, what's funny is that people are reluctant to actually attribute this to love. Mm-hmm. They want to say it's something technical. The Kansas City Chiefs, they lost in the Super Bowl and they won it the year before. And Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. And they have, but their coach, Andy Reid, is this extraordinary guy, big guy, and his wife is around the team and he loves on his players. He always has been that way when he was with the Eagles. Whether you like sports or not, it's really cool. And that sets them apart. Mm-hmm. And I think, and Mahomes buys into that and all the other great players do. There is a competitive advantage to all this, but because we can't quantify it, we tend to doubt it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually worse than just doubting it. We have tried to remove it from yeah. the equation entirely. Like we're trying to suggest now, like collectively the world of work is trying to suggest that you should not do that.
Right.
Like, it's actually dangerous or not helpful or something else. Like we're trying to eliminate emotion from work versus say, no, this actually helps. It should be a part of it. And this isn't a conversation for like, oh, you know, you can have friends at work, but this is actually even more about, hey, you should care about the people that are sitting next to you. You should, it will motivate you to perform and it will cause you to elevate your, like how you show up in ways that no software or sterilizing our work experience is ever going to do.
You know, something is funny. They do employee surveys all the time and I don't love them because they overanalyze everything, but, and sometimes I just don't think it reflects. And sometimes they're trying to make a list and like,
everybody answer positively.
But I think it would be interesting if you were to ask people this question, do you love many of the people that you work with in your job? And use the word, darn it. Mm. And I think that that might have a higher predictive indication of a company's success. I can't imagine a company that where people go, I go to work, I love the people I work with. We don't do good work. We don't really care about our customers, but I love them.
I just have a feeling that like the person that's filling out that question is like, am I getting in trouble for this? You know?
Like, yeah, yeah.
Am I supposed to write yes or no? I have no idea.
Well, you know what kept coming back to me was lawyers, the legal world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And lawyers don't want love in the workplace. I mean, just because they don't want you to get too close and it's because of this. And I think if there is a profession that's without love, it probably is the legal one because it's so technical and it's so defensive. Mm-hmm. It's not like leaning forward, taking risks to care about one another. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what their job is.
Right. Well, yeah, it makes sense because they're supposed to like go through the facts and that's all that matter are the facts, you know?
And so they have that place, but I don't think a person should set the tone for their company based on what a lawyer tells them. I think they should set the tone for the company based on what's going to motivate their people.
Yeah. It is interesting. I feel like in many ways, we had a conversation today about like, where are we perceived in the marketplace? Not like, not for any reason other than like how what market are we in and how do people think about us? And we were sort of like in this, is it personal? Are we helping people like with who they are as people? Or are we helping organizations? And we're kind of like right in the middle. Mm-hmm. And we're a little unique in that sense that we're not financial software and we're not just personal development. We're like in this integrated part of your work and life.
Yeah, where the human being meets the organization, the team, the leader, all that stuff.
And these conversations that we keep having are, in some way, you know, in many ways, trying to get people to realize like, no, we have to rethink the way we're thinking about work, because if we just err on the one side where it's all business and strategy, and this is, we've had this conversation over and over again, it's the holistic person. And what does this mean to, you know, for people on teams? I love when you say life is a team sport.
Right.
And so when we look at this, it's like work and should involve this as well.
Absolutely. No, whatever. No, I totally agree. And you know what it is? It's organizational health. Underneath all of that is love. Mm-hmm. It really is. Now, we're not going to lead with that because that could sound weird. And if you don't hire somebody to say, well, we love each other here, and you think you're joining a cult or a commune. But the truth of the matter is, at the bottom of all of this is a genuine sense of love. Mm-hmm. And that's really important. And speaking of love, we love to do commercials.
Yes, we do.
You love a product that you wanted to tell us about, Cody.
No, we have, it's one of our clients. So a couple of our consultants work for this company. That's how I kind of heard about it. And that it's called Dr. Squatch.
Dr. Squatch.
And they make soaps and, like, I don't know, what do you call that? Like body, personal care products.
Men's personal care products.
Deodorant and stuff like that.
I'm using their soap. It smells wonderful. My towels even smell wonderful.
Cody smells lovely right now.
Yeah.
I just have to say.
So that's Dr. Squatch. So Dr. Squatch, check them out. They're a client of ours. They're a great organization. They have great products. So that's my unpaid advertisement for those guys.
And we did Dr. Pepper, Dr. Squatch.
Yeah.
We have a doctor.
Dr. Scholes.
Dr. Scholes. Yeah, exactly. All right. Thanks for joining us on At the Table. Remember, the best 4-letter word is love. It has a lot to do with teamwork and success. And we'll look forward to talking to you next time. God bless.